Welcome to InstaDeath Survivor Support Group, a podcast all about game books and the readers and writers who adore them.
Season's greetings, good tidings, happy Christmas, whatever, all those things. Today, we have a holiday special with a special guest, none other than Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, aho. How's everybody doing? This is Andrew Kenya, formerly known as, well, whatever the hell you want to call me. I don't know. I've died so many times at this point, it's hard to remember.
Yes, Santa Claus is too big budget of a guest. Our show doesn't have a big enough audience to attract Santa. So, you know, tell your friends to start listening. Maybe next year we can get the big guy. This year we're stuck with Andrew.
Oh, well.
Hey, Drew. I'm just kidding. Do you have any good holiday puns, Drew?
Good holiday puns. Oh, man. You know, I did not prepare for this assignment.
Yeah.
No. It's nothing's for the holidays.
It's not like the TikTok. I understood the assignment or whatever.
I did not understand the assignment.
All right. Well, anyway, today we are getting in that holiday spirit for a special release between seasons featuring the book called "'Twas the Crappest Night Before Christmas" by Jonathan Green. For the fans of game books out there, Fighting Fantasy or the Ace Game Book series, which is Jonathan's series, you of course know Jonathan as a prolific author, maybe one of the most prolific authors, a contributor to the Fighting Fantasy series itself, as well as his own series, of which this book is a part, the Ace Game Book series. And the Ace Game Book series is so called for a couple of reasons. One is that it features cards, optionally, not dice. And Andrew will know that I'm not cheating because I'm going to take the cello off of this here fresh pack. Yeah, which of course also means that it'll be really poorly shuffled.
Perfect. I'm in for either a really good time or a really poor time.
Yeah. Another interesting thing about the Ace Game Book series is that Jonathan takes sort of classic tales or myths or you know, that sort of thing and puts a fresh modern spin on it. So this is, of course, a mix of the Krampus myth. If you're not familiar, it's sort of a Christmas demon that abducts children who are naughty.
I don't know why this isn't more mainstream, personally. I think this is the best way to get people or children to fall in line.
Yeah, exactly. Forget Cole. How about we're going to take you and beat you with a stick? Which perhaps is a good time to say that this probably isn't a family-friendly episode. I don't know.
I suppose we're going to find out.
Yeah. And then, of course, he combines that with a Night Before Christmas theme. I've not read through the book yet. I prefer that when we do these playthroughs because then I get surprised authentic reaction alongside Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So I have read through the rule section, and I'm going to house rule one thing just mm-hmm. for the flow, which is that when we draw cards throughout the book instead of rolling dice, I'm not going to shuffle every single time, which means, of course, that if you have like a streak of low value cards, then you have better luck coming up. And if you have a streak of high value cards, then you have bad luck coming up. But what I'll do is anytime you draw an ace, I'll reshuffle. So that's,
gotcha.
That's not one of the rules of the game. I'm making it up. We'll see what happens.
Perfect. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. So here we go. I'm going to open this fresh deck of cards. This is the really highly intense and exciting part of the show where you get to hear plastic.
Ah, for those of you ASMR folks out there.
Oh yeah, should I whisper? I'm now pulling the plastic off of the cards. Can you hear that? a crinkling noise.
And that might be enjoyable for some people, but for in my ear holes, that is not.
In my, would you call that an aural orifice? A-U-R-A-L? All right. And then I need to remove the jokers because they are not needed for the game. And now I will do a nice little shuffle. That sounded more like some other kind of orifice function. All right, so I'm shuffling. This is riveting entertainment, folks. I could not
possibly. We're going to figure out just how good or bad his shuffling skills are.
Can you imagine watching a food show that I produce? Now we just have to wait 30 minutes for the turkey. Well, 6 hours for the turkey. I don't know. All right. So in the UK, they have some cool Christmas traditions. This is not news to UK people. In fact, they're going to get a laugh out of this because I am so ignorant about what they do. Like the Christmas cracker. Do you know what the Christmas cracker is, Drew?
I don't.
Ah, yes. Okay.
I have no idea.
they each pull on a side and it's like a little firework thing that goes off. And I don't know what the purpose is. There's some kind of tradition in that. And they wear silly hats and stuff like that. Do you think we have any American Christmas traditions that would be surprising to our UK listeners?
Leaving food out for Santa and reindeers, like cookies for Santa and carrots for reindeers. Super weird.
Yeah, the cookies and the carrots, totally eaten by Santa and the reindeers.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely.
All right, I will talk about the attributes. There are three attributes in this game: agility, combat, and endurance. You could probably guess what each of those do. We're starting with agility and combat having a base score of 6 points. And endurance having a base score of 20. And you'll be able to take an additional 10 points and divvy those out however you want. When we do a test, what we're going to do is we're going to draw a card. And 1 through 10 is worth 10. Face cards are worth 11. And ace is worth 12. If you roll equal to or under the value of your attribute, then you succeed. And by roll, I mean draw. All right, so talk me through your decisions here. You've got agility, combat, and endurance, and 10 points to divvy out among those. How are you gonna split up your points?
Ooh, how am I gonna split up the other ones, huh? Well, endurance is fairly high, I suppose. I'm going to add 6 to combat and 4 to agility and call it good there.
Okay. I think what that means, just thinking this through, I think that means that you cannot fail at fights. So then you've got the skills. We'll deal with combat rules when we get to that part. You don't have anything but the pajamas you're wearing, a dressing gown, bed socks, and a pair of slippers. But you can pick up all kinds of equipment as we go.
Sweet.
So the ways that this could end is if your endurance score drops to 0 or below, then you are, what's a charitable way to say this? You're having a rest.
The long nap.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you make some bad choices, you might meet the ever-famous insta-death. And then, of course, maybe, just maybe, you'll succeed.
Maybe. Unlikely, but, you know, I suppose maybe is better than not.
All right. So with that, let's kick into the adventure. 'Twas the Krampus night before Christmas.
Ah.
Okay. So, settle back. Relax. Let the sugar plums dance in your head. Here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. You wake with a start, as the clock in the hall starts to chime. You lie there listening, the bed covers pulled up tight under your chin, your heart beating an excited tattoo, tattoo, like a little drummer boy, wondering if he's been in yet. It is Christmas Eve, after all. 11, 12, 13. The crystal clear ringing of the last chime echoes through the silent house. 13 chimes? There must be something wrong with the clock. You are just wondering whether you should go and take a look when you hear a crash come from somewhere downstairs, followed by a heavy thud. You stay where you are, your body fizzing with adrenaline, wondering what could have made that noise. Are you being burgled? And whether someone else is going to investigate. But after several long seconds have passed, without hearing any of the other bedroom doors open, your curiosity can take it no longer, and you decide to take a look for yourself. Getting out of bed, you pull on your dressing gown over your pajamas, put on your slippers, and quietly creep out of your room. The full moon is visible through the window at the end of the landing. Someone having forgotten to draw the curtains upon going to bed, and so by its wan light, with silent footsteps, cautiously make your way downstairs. At the bottom of the stairs stands the old grandfather clock that just chimed 13. Sprigs of holly and garlands of tinsel adorn it and the rest of the furniture in the hallway. The front door to the house is before you and remains closed, and there's no sign of anyone having entered this way. To your right is the door to the sitting room, while to your left is the door to the dining room. Would you like to examine the grandfather clock? Open the front door, open the door to the sitting room, or open the door to the dining room?
Going to examine the grandfather clock, because I do enjoy them.
You approach the long case of the looming clock and peer through the gloom at its face. The hands of the clock read 2 minutes after midnight, but you are sure you heard it chime 13. You stare at the scene visible through the cutout window in the faceplate that shows a smiling moon peeping out between clouds and twinkling stars. But as you turn away from the clock again, out of the corner of your eye, you fancy you see something fly across the face of the painted moon. Before you have a chance to take another look, a crash from the kitchen has you turning your attention towards the door at the far end of the hall. Your pulse quickens again. Someone or something is in the kitchen. If you want to run back up to your room, jump back into the bed and hide under the covers, we could do that, or not. What would you like to do?
We're headed to the kitchen.
All right. Well, I don't know if we're actually going to the kitchen, but you're not running to your
nope,
bed.
Not running. Not doing it.
All right. Your heart hammering against the cage of your ribs, you decide what to do next. Do you want to hide in one of the rooms downstairs or confront whoever is skulking about in the kitchen? So you could enter the sitting room, enter the dining room, or enter the kitchen.
Let's enter the dining room.
All right. Trying to go the side route. Uh-huh. Sneak
Thinking
around.
About maybe if I'm in the dining room, there might be a china cabinet, might be a knife. Perhaps it's... We'll see.
Well, let's see. It is dark in the dining room, but someone has forgotten to turn off the string of icicle-shaped bulbs adorning the mirror that hangs on one wall. And this provides enough light for you to effectively navigate the room. This room has been almost as exuberantly decorated as the sitting room. There are Christmas cards, sprigs of holly, and bunches of mistletoe, and a small tree stands in one corner. On top of that, everything that was already in the room has been garlanded with tinsel and lengths of Christmas bunting,
At the far end of the dining room, the door leading into the kitchen is closed, but there is something about the atmosphere here that gives you the impression something has been disturbed, and you feel compelled to investigate. Would you like to search the sideboard for clues, examine the dining table itself, or look at the decorations adorning the room?
Perhaps the dining table itself.
The table has been set with the finest silver cutlery and folded linen napkins, ready for Christmas dinner. But you are appalled to find that the tablecloth itself is filthy. It appears to be covered in soot, and lying on a mat in the center of the table, the spot reserved for the turkey, is a huge cracker, the largest you've ever seen, with a bright red tag that reads simply, "Pull me." If you want to pull the cracker, we could do that, or you could leave it well enough alone.
I'm going to leave it well enough alone.
I have a feeling it would blow the house. But anyway, we'll move on. You take in the swags of tinsel, the fringed gold lame. I don't even know what that word means. I apologize. The endless links of paper chains and the tiny reindeer and elves wearing Santa hats that have been hung from every available light fitting and picture frame. But then your brows crease in confusion as you lay eyes on something that you don't remember being put up when the room was being decorated. It looks like a string of tiny tinsel-wrapped skulls, as if someone has repurposed the Halloween decorations in time for Christmas.
Should have grabbed a knife off the table. Don't know what to say.
A tinsel garland suddenly slips free of the mirror frame and hangs loose. Reaching out to push it back into place, you are startled when the tinsel jerks out of the way. And then, in the next heartbeat, it lashes out like a whip, wrapping itself around your neck. You gasp in surprise as more of the strings of decoration shake themselves loose and snake-like, bind you in their ever-tightening coils. You start to panic as the tinsel tightens about your neck, and soon you're gasping for breath. So, you can use one of your special abilities here. You could call on the pen is mightier, or you could use the naughty or nice special ability, and I'll tell you what those are in a second. Or you could not use either of those abilities right now. And just so that you know the purpose of those, naughty or nice is if you find yourself in a tight spot, you can use this ability to change the nature of the magical world around you. However, this may result in you actually making things worse for yourself rather than better. Or, if you use the pen is mightier, this ability allows you to avoid coming to blows with an enemy by altering the narrative of the encounter and thereby enabling you to get away unscathed.
Huh. I feel like it's far too soon to use that. To use either of them.
Okay. So you'd like to try to get through this? I think I'm gonna
take my chances on this first tinsel. I mean, it's just tinsel. You know what I mean? Like, surely. Surely.
All right. Struggling to breathe, you fight for your life as the decorations try to truss you up like a Christmas turkey and strangle you. So in this battle, so we're going to have combat here, the decorations have the initiative. All right. So we are fighting devilish decorations with a combat score of 8 and an endurance score of 6. So I'm going to keep note here. So combat 8, endurance 6. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to draw cards. Anytime I draw an ace, we'll reshuffle for the next time around. I'm going to draw a card for you, and we're going to add that to your combat score, and that is your combat rating. Okay. And then I'm going to draw a card for your opponent, the devilish decorations, and we're going to add that to their combat score, and that will be their combat rating. We will add a 1 point to whoever has the initiative for just that round. If your combat rating is higher, then you've wounded your enemy, and so we'll deduct 2 points from their endurance. If their combat rating is higher, then they've wounded us, you. And by the way, you need a name. What's your name?
Just be Tom Hanks. We'll be that guy.
Yeah, you'll we'll be Tom. Hanks. You're just gonna be Tom Hanks.
The conductor.
Yes.
be him.
If Tom Hanks's combat rating is lower than your opponent, then Tom Hanks will take 2 points of damage to the endurance score. And then in the case of a tie, it's possible that neither of you are hurt, and it's possible that both of you are hurt. There are rules for that, which we'll cover if it happens. And then, of course, if you go below zero on endurance, then you take a long nap. And if your opponent gets below zero, then they take a long nap. So here we go. The devilish decorations. So first up, I'm drawing a jack for you and a queen for them. So each of you get a 10. So they have the initiative. So it's 8 plus 1 plus 10 is equal to 19. And you have what? 12?
12 combat.
Plus 10 is 22. So 19 versus 22, of course, that means you have the higher combat rating. And that means that they are going to lose 2 endurance. So let's narrate this. What did you do? How did you harm their endurance?
Let's see. Well, if I was Tom Hanks, I'm sure I probably would have gone psycho. Let's say I teared the tinsel. Yeah.
You've torn the tinsels. All right, here we go. So now I'm going to draw for you again an 8, and then draw for the devilish decorations. And it is a 5. So I think you're probably going to do well here again. So you're obviously going to be higher. So we're good there. So that we go down to 3. So again, you beat them. Yeah. So you're just basically flailing your arms,
using the old muscles, you know, stretching out a bit.
Okay. Good. So you would have had initiative on that round, but it didn't matter because you had a high enough score anyway. All right. So you still have initiative. You're tearing that tinsel up, but it's still holding on with an endurance of 3. So we turn over a card. You have got a 7 versus their 7, which means, of course, because you have that higher endurance score, you're going to
beat them. Not a chance. They don't have a chance. So,
are you changing anything up? They have 1 endurance left. Are you changing up any tactics?
Oh, well, if this is the case, if I make it this next time, they're getting stomped. It's just that easy.
Yeah, okay. Like literally you're going to stomp on them? Okay, here we go. Oh, I think you got this because we got here a king.
Oh, easy.
Versus a 2. So yes.
They're getting stomped.
All right, so give me a, here we go in the tradition of Mortal Kombat.
Finish him. Time to get stomped.
All right, so the tinsel, you've pulled the tinsel off your neck and you're just quite literally stomping all over it.
I am jumping around. Just imagine it's just a tinsely massacre.
All right, here we go. Struggling free of the decoration's stranglehold at last, you stumble across the room and almost fall through the door into the kitchen.
That's not very good.
So, yeah, I know, right? So as you enter the kitchen, you feel a cold gust of air. So I guess you did kind of stumble in. You feel a cold gust of air, and then the back door slams shut. Something or someone was just in here. Your pulse starts to quicken once more. Will you open the back door in the hope of catching whoever was just in here? Search the kitchen for clues as to who might have been here? Or run back upstairs to bed and hide under the covers?
Search the kitchen.
I feel like our dear author is really trying to get you to go back to the bed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They really want me to go back upstairs, but I just don't know about it.
Yeah. I agree with that. Although nothing on the kitchen counters or worktops appears to have been disturbed, there are scuff marks on the floor, smears of mud, and what looks like soot as well. Amongst all this mess, you find 2 distinct footprints. One made by a human foot, and the other by a large hoof print, like that of some cloven-footed creature. The sight unsettles you deeply, and your mind goes back to the thud you heard upon waking, when the clock in the hall chimed 13.
You start to wonder if the interloper raided the kitchen cupboards and opened them to have a look. There's no sign that anyone rummaged through the cupboards, and the turkey is still in the refrigerator, along with the pigs in blankets, ready to go in the oven in the morning. But the sight of all those packets of savory snacks makes your mouth water. If you want to help yourself to some of the snacks and make a midnight feast of it, we could do that. Or you could open the back door in the hope of catching whoever was just in here. Or you could go back to bed and hide under the covers.
Again with the covers.
You have full endurance, so I don't know if there's a benefit to eating.
I don't think there is a benefit with eating food, but I still don't want... You know, they are really harping on the bed thing, so I really feel like it's a bad idea to go there.
Sure.
Well, you know what? Let's just open the door. Let's just kick this off.
You open the door, and there's a huge goat face, and it eats you. I'm just kidding. Yes, let's see. So you're going to go out the back door. Creep. That's, we have high budget sound effects here. Creep. There's soot on the handle of the back door, too, where someone has opened it from the inside. Pulling open the door yourself, you peer out into the ice-cold night, half-closing your eyes against the biting wind. Snow lies thick on the ground, blanketing everything in fuzzy white anonymity. The wind is howling about the eaves of the house and sending flurries of flakes rushing into your face. And then you hear the clanking of chains and glance upward. Following the sound to its source, you catch a glimpse of something large and shadowy as it climbs up onto the roof and disappears, your heart racing and your frantic breath clouding in the air in front of you. You feel your blood quicken as your system is flooded with adrenaline, your body preparing itself to either fight or flee. But which is it to be? If you want to climb up the drainpipe and follow whatever it is that you just saw scramble onto the roof, we could do that. Or if you prefer to slam the door and hurry back to bed, we could do that.
So here's my issue with climbing up the storm drain. Obviously, mm-hmm. I've got nothing but pajamas. So I'm not really equipped mm-hmm. to go, first of all, climbing up a storm drain, which sounds hard in and of itself, mm-hmm. and then confronting whatever this is on the roof. But you at the same time...
You should have bought one of those Rose Suchik ladders.
Right,
That's good old little pun from the Santa Claus.
But if I go back up to bed, surely it's not good either.
Yeah, I feel like this would be... it's going to be like the most boring insta-death ever. It'll be like, you go back to sleep and die of natural causes in your sleep.
Yeah, it's like, and you have a heart attack and Christmas morning comes. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to actually go back up to bed.
Oh, man.
I'm going to see what bed is, because there's just nothing good that's going to come from climbing up a drain pipe when it's cold. And I've got nothing but slippers and a robe or pajamas.
All right, here we go. You dread to think who can have invaded your house on Christmas Eve, but you don't want to hang about to find out either. Taking the stairs two at a time, you hurry back to your bedroom, slamming the door behind you, and jump into bed, pulling the bedclothes tight over your head. You lie there, your overexcited heartbeat pounding in your ears. And as you lie there, ears straining, waiting for the feeling of dread and your hammering pulse to subside, you hear a heavy tread on the stairs. And then the creak of a floorboard outside your door. It's all you can do not to let out a whimper of fear as the handle turns and the door opens. The close air of your bedroom becomes thick with the musky smell of a stable, and you sense the tremors of something large and hunched moving about the chains, slowly clanking as it does so.
You're rigid under the covers, paralyzed with fear, and then suddenly the bedclothes are yanked back, and in the night gloom of your room, you nonetheless become aware of a huge shadow looming over you. You see the silhouette of a great clawed hand descend, and before you really know what's going on, it snatches you from the bed and bundles you into the large wicker basket it is carrying on its back, slamming the lid shut and fastening it tight. So, by the way, you've lost one combat point from fear, if you could mark right. that.
Okay.
Thrown about inside the basket, you nonetheless get the sense that you are being carried up onto the roof of your house, and in time becoming aware of the snorting and musky animal scent of large cervidae. Your abductor shrugs the basket from its shoulders and tosses it. Not your abductor. I was thinking like the muscles.
Your abductor.
Your abductor shrugs the basket from its shoulders and tosses it among a large pile of sacks. You start to suspect that you are now on board a huge sleigh. The transport rocks as the giant climbs aboard. You hear the sharp cracks of a whip and feel a jolt as the sleigh takes off, your stomach lurching as the vehicle hurtles skyward. Realizing that your abductor will be preoccupied with driving the sleigh, you make a bid for freedom. Poking your fingers through the gaps between the woven lengths of willow, you manage to jiggle the toggle that is keeping the basket shut free and pop the lid open. Clouds, heavy with snow, rush past overhead beneath a midnight blue velvet sky, scattered with a million twinkling diamond stars. Crawling out of the basket, you have your suspicions confirmed. You have been tossed into the back of a sleigh piled high with sacks, and one of those sacks, which is larger than the rest, is wriggling as whoever, or whatever, is inside it struggles to get free. If you want to untie the knotted cord that is keeping the sack closed, we can do that, or if you would rather not risk unleashing what might be lurking within, we can abstain. What would you like to do?
So this is the sack. What I am to assume as Krampus's sack.
Yeah. So there's a lot of sacks. One of them is larger than the others, and that one is wriggling. And so there's something alive in it, and it's up to you. Like maybe that's something or someone that can help
is
you.
John Cena. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like mini Krampus.
Yeah. Great.
Angry goat goes meh.
And butts me off the sleigh, and I fall to my death. Okay. Let's see. Tempting. Let's undo it. Let's see what's inside the sack.
Can't get much worse than flying through the air with a Christmas deer demon.
Yeah. Surely not.
All right. Undoing the cord, you pull the sack open and are surprised to find yourself looking down into a softly lined face with rosy red cheeks, a curling white mustache and long white beard, and the oldest yet most dazzling diamond-sharp eyes you've ever seen. Father Crit, you begin, before the flustered face peering up at you shushes you into silence. Now's not the time for introductions, he says. He's clearly old, but his expression is also one of the most powerful you've ever seen. I've been captured by Krampus, the Christmas devil, he explains, and it looks like you're my only chance of getting out of here. My hands are tied, which is why I've been unable to free myself. You must get word to Jingle. He'll know what to do.
Well, the big man himself.
Mm-hmm. You know, I say, screw him, throw him off the side, because he refused to, he said he wouldn't come on the show because we didn't have a big enough audience. Screw
that's
this guy.
Yeah, screw him. Kick him off.
Go into cahoots with Krampus. All right. Here's the question. Krampus took Santa alive, so maybe he's going to milk him for his Christmas magic or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out motives here.
Yeah, the motive is a little whack. Yeah. Why steal Santa? Why not just I force imagine, him to the long nap.
Here's, I'm making up a total backstory. Sorry, Jonathan.
Sure.
Here we go. There's actually like thousands of Santas, and they all have some magic. And Krampus has like a magic factory where he's got them all like hooked up to tubes and stuff that's like sucking the magic out of them. And he's building like a doomsday demon device that will take all the happiness from the world, but he needs all of the Christmas magic to do it.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Sounds like you've got yourself a basis for a movie.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Hearing a sudden snarl, you look up to see the driver leaving his seat at the front of the sleigh. As he scrambles over the piles of sacks in an attempt to get his filthy claws on you. So we need to make a note that your opponent has the initiative in the forthcoming battle.
Okay.
About to get real.
I don't want to fight Krampus already.
I know, right? A bolt of lightning suddenly splits the sky and the snowstorm asunder. Just at that moment, the other's hood falls back, revealing his horrible face for the first time. It is the demonic leer of some hideous amalgam of man and beast, with the caprine eyes of a goat, wolfish fangs, and long curling horns. A prehensile tongue whips from the creature's mouth, moving as if with a life of its own, and a guttural cackle rises from the devil's throat.
What do we have here? A devious spy? Well, Krampus says it's your time to die.
Sorry. And with that, the fiend makes a grab for you. How do you want to respond? We could use your The Pin is Mightier special ability, use your Naughty or Nice special ability, or fight back against Krampus.
I don't know if I should fight back against Krampus this soon. I think I might want to use one of these abilities.
Right, so The Pin is Mightier, I think, generally is like to try and avoid combat. Naughty or Nice, I think, is generally to like change the magical nature of something, or you could fight.
Yikes.
Ha! Sorry, he had one more cackle to... Sorry.
He wasn't done with me. Oh, man. All right, let's see. I think... Man, should I just fight him? This
man.
Isn't gonna end well. Krampus probably has, like, combat level 26 or some nonsense. All right.
Yeah, they don't tell us... They don't tell us what the stats will be,
That's bad. Let's try Naughty or Nice.
Okay. So we're going to do some magical shit. With you and Krampus preoccupied with what each other are doing, no one's paying attention to the reindeer or in which direction they are taking the sleigh. Okay. So go ahead and delete one of the Naughty or Nice special ability uses.
Yep.
With a snapping of wood and shearing of metal, the sleigh slams into the ground, and you and the sinister creature are violently thrown out by the force of the impact. Wow. So, so this is one of the situations where it did change the situation, but it also created a new situation. So, if you want, you could invoke Naughty or Nice now, again, or not.
Oh, it gives me the option to do it again?
Yeah.
Or whatever happened.
Yes, exactly. So we're either gonna see what happens when you're violently thrown out of a flying sleigh, or you're gonna use Naughty or Nice again and
let's just see. Let's just see what happens.
All right. So you're violently thrown from the sleigh. Let's see what happens.
Hopefully it's in a giant pile of snow.
All right. So it's a luck of the draw situation. We're going to do one thing if the card is red and another if it's black. Given that this is a odd situation, I'm going to go ahead and shuffle.
Yep.
so that we have even odds.
I assume black is bad, being coal, and red is good, meaning Santa.
It's red. Huzzah. We don't actually know. We don't know if that's good.
Oh, oh, you're right. We don't. I'm just being. Oh.
You're being optimistic. Okay, here we go.
Your body slams into the ground and you lie there stunned. It feels like every part of you is hurting.
So, let's see. We're going to roll one die and add one. I don't actually have dice. I'm going to use an online thing. Roll 1d6. And we got a 3. So we're going to add 1 and we're going to deduct that many endurance points. It actually told me what to do with cards, but I already did this. So deduct 4 endurance.
Unfortunate. Okay.
Yep. And then if you lose 4 or more, also deduct 1. Oh, man. So you have to deduct a combat point and an agility point.
That is unfortunate.
Yep.
So it didn't feel very good.
No, I don't guess it did. All right, we're looking great.
As you pick yourself up, brushing the snow from your dressing gown, you hear the diabolical monster bellowing at the reindeer, urging them to get up. Before you can do anything to stop it, the creature climbs back into the driver's seat. One crack of the devil's whip sends the reindeer galloping into the sky again, dragging the battered sleigh after them, and leaving you all alone in the snowy wilderness with no idea of where you are or how to get home. You are in the depths of a forest. Snow covers the ground and the trees and continues to fall from the sky, muffling all sound apart from the crunch of the snow under your feet. What you wouldn't do for a pair of snow boots right now. And it's asking if we have a code word, which we certainly do not. So hopefully that doesn't spell your doom. We're about to get a code word.
Huh?
It is bitterly cold, and despite pulling the collar of your dressing gown up against the wind, soon your teeth are chattering.
You only get a performance like this on one show, folks. Soon your teeth are chattering and your whole body is shivering. So you need to deduct 2 endurance points, 1 agility point, and 1 combat point. What are we at, Drew?
We are at 8 agility, 9 combat, and 14 endurance.
All right. If you're still alive, which we show is, record the code word cold with a K.
Cold with a
K. On your adventure sheet. Although you are aware of your immediate location, you have no idea where that is in relation to your home. The night sky thick with wintry clouds, you cannot even locate north. But not knowing what else to do, you set off regardless, trudging through the snow. And then a light appears through the darkness. Drawn to the light like a moth to a candle flame, you soon find yourself before a single-story hovel. Thick smoke rises from a stone-built chimney. But the rest of the building is constructed from wood, with a layer of haphazard thatch on the roof. Do you want to knock on the door in hope of finding shelter from the night and cold? Or would you rather keep trudging through the snow, heading in what you think is roughly the same direction as the sleigh went?
We are knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Knock, knock, knocking on!
Let's see whose door. I'm not sure whose door this is.
My track record, it's,
Hey!
Oh, it's him, Bill!
The door is opened by a burly man with muscular arms and a thick black beard, and you instantly fall in love. No, I'm just kidding. He's wearing a sturdy leather apron, and what clothes of his that are visible, along with his hands and face, are black with soot. Catching sight of the ruddy glow coming from the forge at the back of the hovel, you realize he must be a blacksmith. When he sees you standing there, he looks you up and down in surprise, his gaze lingering on your slippered feet. Then, as if suddenly remembering himself, he ushers you inside and shuts the door.
You look like you're about to catch your death.
I don't know what accent that was.
Come warm yourself by the fire.
So if you have the code word cold, which we sure do, woo-hoo. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Bam, bam. It's wonderfully warm inside the forge, and the heat is already starting to chase the cold from your bones. So you can restore one combat point.
Nice.
And one agility point.
Nice.
Good thing you knocked on a burly man's door.
Knock, knock, knocking on a blacksmith's door.
All right.
Here, says the blacksmith.
I feel like he's a big guy. I'm going to change the stereotypical big guy voice and be like, here. He's a gentle. He's like a gentle.
The gentle giant.
Here, says the blacksmith, limping over to a cooking pot hung over the fire. He ladles some broth into a wooden bowl before passing it to you along with a spoon.
It'll warm you from the inside out.
You do not need to be told twice, and you gulp down the steaming soup. It's very nourishing, full of root vegetables, and you gain 4 endurance points.
Oh, wow. Gosh, darn.
Now, he says, as you pass the bowl back to him, tell me what brings you here on a freezing Christmas Eve such as this. Feeling you have nothing to lose,
Krampus.
You relate the bizarre series of events that have brought you to this place at this time. You're barely able to believe them yourself. When you share your story with the blacksmith, it all seems so fanciful, like a twisted fairy tale. When you're done telling your story, the blacksmith fixes you with eyes that shine like obsidian.
It sounds like you fell foul of Krampus, he says. And like as not, you're not the only one. He shouldn't be out and about on Christmas Eve, but if he is, then the big man himself could be in trouble.
Don't worry, you tell the blacksmith. I'm determined to stop Krampus and save Christmas.
I would go with you, the blacksmith says. If it wasn't for this, he indicates his withered leg. But I might be able to offer my aid.
With a big ol' sword. I just assume with a blacksmith, it's either a sword or it's not a slingshot.
These polar climbs are a hazard to any traveler, and not just because of the cold, the blacksmith says. How do you intend to defend yourself should you run into any opposition?
I have my wits, you say. They've got me this far. I feel like you've just sort of stumbled into this
far. The wits don't count.
I don't know if the... But anyway.
But what you really need is a weapon, the blacksmith says, for those times when you cannot beat your foes by brains alone. Here, take this.
And my axe, because he's offering you an axe. He offers you the axe he clearly uses to chop the wood for the fire, and you see no reason not to accept it. So record the blacksmith's axe on your adventure sheet. And make a note that when you use it in battle, you may add 1 point to your combat rating. Suddenly, there comes a knock at the door, startling you.
Who's there?
Demands the blacksmith, getting to his feet. Who do you think it is?
Krampus. Perhaps Santa. Likely Krampus.
He pulls open the door. Standing there is a beautiful young woman, a shawl pulled tight under her chin, and held in place by one ice-blue hand. Following the blacksmith's horrified gaze, as the woman takes a step over the threshold, you see that under her skirts, rather than feet, she has the cloven hooves of a goat.
"Be gone, deceiver!" the blacksmith cries, grabbing a pair of red-hot iron tongs from the forge. Catching the demon's nose between the glowing pincers, he drags her, kicking and screaming, outside. Suddenly shedding her clothes, she unfurls wings as broad and black as a dragon's, and escaping the blacksmith's hold, takes to the air, still howling in pain as she flies away into the night. So record the code word cruel with a K. There's no time to delay. You're sure the succubus is on her way to alert your quarry to your progress.
Your destination lies to the north, beyond the mountains, the blacksmith tells you. But betwixt here and there lies a forest and a frozen lake.
it will be up to you to decide which path to follow. But both will ultimately bring you to the river of ice that marks the pass through the mountains. Good luck! Thanking the blacksmith for his help, you set off into the night, heading north as directed.
Well, didn't even give me any clothes.
I know, right? You could have taken the lady's clothes.
Could have done anything.
But they're probably all wet now. Anyway, as you follow a path between two pine-clad ridges, the wind suddenly drops, and you see a wintry wonderland laid out before you, illuminated by the monochrome light of the now-visible moon. The horizon
is...
Reading Rainbow. The horizon is dominated by the jagged teeth of icy mountains, the tongue of a great glacier choking a pass between them. But before the mountains, to your right, lies a dark expanse of woodland, the brooding pines spreading almost as far as the black peaks, while to your left, at the other end of a valley that has been turned utterly white by the ever-present snow, you can see a frozen lake, and beyond that, rising from craggy foothills, an ice-clad castle. So, do you want to continue through the forest, or make your way along the valley towards the ice lake and frozen castle?
I guess my question, or not really question, my thought process is, this lake, must I cross the frozen lake, or am I going around the lake? Man, the ice castle kind of sounds neat.
Mm-hmm.
Also sounds like the first Frozen movie, so I don't know about that.
Could be a good place to let it go. So you want to stick to the forest,
you
said?
I'd say so, yeah. I think that's probably better.
The trees envelop you in pine-scented darkness. The moon disappears from sight, hidden by the snow-clad branches, and soon you have no idea which way you are heading through the forest. You could be going round in circles for all you know. And then you enter a moonlit clearing and spy a red-breasted robin hopping about in the snow. It twitters at you and then takes off, disappearing between the evergreens. If you want to try and follow the robin, we could do that, or you could trust your own instincts and struggle on alone.
I don't know what the hell I'd be doing following the robin, let's be real. Also, might I add that pine-scented darkness sounds like a body wash.
This is like, it's super super emo or something.
Pine-scented dark.
It's not simply pine-scented, it's pine-scented darkness.
To clean your soul.
You know, what have I got to lose? They might as well follow the bird, you know? I mean,
okay.
Whatever.
All right, rockin' robin. Rather than trying to get away from you, the robin alights on a branch and waits for you to catch up before taking off again. Continuing in this way, it leads you to a hollow, within which stands the most curious cottage you have ever seen. It looks like the sort of edible ornament you have out on the sideboard during the Christmas period, since it appears to be made entirely from gingerbread.
Gotta go.
From its sugarwork windows to the piped icing decorating the window sills and doorframe, the entire edifice appears to be edible. Even the snow dusting its roof looks like a sprinkling of icing sugar. But curiously, there's smoke rising from its gingerbread chimney. The robin hops about on the ground in front of the cottage, chirruping frantically and flapping its wings furiously. But what is it trying to tell you? Would you like to taste a piece of the glorious gingerbread? I added glorious to see if it's the real thing. Try the door or get out of Dodge. Leave the cottage and the clearing and continue on your way. Now, devil's advocate. Santa said we needed help from somebody named Jingle. And I don't know anything about this Jingle fella or lady, but I feel like there's a chance that Jingle would live in a place like this.
On the other hand, so would a witch.
Hansel and Gretel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't know.
Yeah, trying to really get me going to the house. Yeah, definitely don't want to taste it because that's just a way to get eaten by a witch.
Also rude.
Also, yes. Yes. Oh, man.
What's your endurance at?
18.
18. That's not bad.
Not bad. I don't, you know what? I'm going to go jiggle on the old door.
All right.
I'm going to do that. Shit. I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Fingers crossed for jingle. Here we go.
It's not going to be jingle. It's going to be...
Turning a handle that looks like an iced donut and somehow miraculously not getting anything on your hands. That's my addition. You open the door and enter the cottage. Despite what its exterior might have led you to believe, inside it appears to be a normal cottage with wooden floorboards, walls made of interlocking pine planks, and a stone-built chimney breast. I'm not familiar with this term, chimney breast. Warming on a black iron stove is a saucepan containing a dark red liquid that fills the air with the heady smell of wine, cloves, nutmeg, and orange zest. Facing the fire is a rocking chair, and next to that stands a small table. Lying on top of it is a large book and an open, handwritten letter. It is clear that whoever lives here is not home at present, but it also looks like they've only popped out for a moment and could return at any time. Would you like to sample some of the mulled wine warming on the stove, read the letter, take a look at the book, or leave the cottage before its owner returns?
Yeah, we're going to leave.
Yep. All right, get out of here.
That's enough for me.
Cowardly.
You open the door and this witch.
Trudging through the snow is wearisome, and so you decide to rest for a moment, propped up against a tree stump. So it's saying this would be a good time to eat, but you don't have any meals. But it is while you are resting that you become aware of the most imperceptible padding of paws on snow, possessed by the unnerving feeling that something is creeping up on you. You scramble to your feet and spin round as a huge black cat makes a grab for you with an outstretched paw, claws unsheathed. It looks like a wild cat with fiercely glowing orange eyes, except that its fur is the color of coal and it is as big as a fully grown panther. Do you have the code word cozy? I don't think you do.
Cold and cruel.
Giving voice to a horrible yowling howl, the big cat leaps for you from the top of a tree stump. Do you want to run away, defend yourself, or use your naughty or nice special ability?
Running away probably isn't going to do anything, but this is not good. I'll try to run, but I'm not going to get very far.
In a panic, you turn tail and run, but the cat is far nimbler and faster than you. With an almighty leap, the animal lands on your back, knocking you to the ground, its sharp claws ripping through your clothes and tearing the skin beneath. Lose 2 endurance points.
Son of a gun. Okay.
The creature you are facing is the savage Yule Cat, a lethal predator that stalks the winter wilderness, hunting for those unfortunate wretches who have not received any new clothes for Christmas.
Jeez.
I like that. I wonder if that's an actual, Christmas legend. Anyway, so do you want to use the pen is mightier or not?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So cross out one of them there, pen is mightiers.
I'll take it.
As the cat pounces, you duck, and as it flies over your head, grab hold. Now that you have the cat by the tail, you use its momentum to swing it into the side of a tree stump, where a protruding wooden spike goes straight through its eye and into its brain, killing it instantly.
Woohoo! Finishing. Yeah.
Man, the pen is mighty.
That is awesome. I am thankful that I used
it. It's basically Mortal Kombat fatalities, I think.
Fatality.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, so we're going to continue on our track here.
But now my clothes are ripped and I've got a wound.
It's not only curiosity that killed the cat. Not anymore. Leaving the hunter dead in the snow, you set off once again through the forest. Fun times.
Mulled wine would be good about now.
I know, right? Too bad we don't have some as we speak. We should definitely start having themed cocktails. All right. As you continue to make your way through the pine trees, the ground starts to rise and becomes rocky underfoot. And then through the trees ahead of you, you see a flickering light coming from a small window at the entrance to a large cave. However, the entrance is blocked by a circular doorway that is twice as tall as you are. Could this be the place you've been searching for? So do you want to approach that entrance and knock on the door, or do you want to keep trudging through the night-clad forest?
Large circular door. Kind of sounds like the place that Jesus spent 3 days in. I don't know about it. Don't know about it.
But that would be Easter, not Christmas.
You're right. You're right. He's not home. Let's knock on the door.
All right. Knock, knock, knocking on Jesus's door. Taking the large iron door knocker in hand, you bang it against the door. You can make out the chatter of excited voices coming from the other side, and then hear the sound of heavy bolts being pulled back. Slowly, the door opens a crack, and a hideous creature peers through the gap. It's no taller than you are, but hunched and misshapen. Its knuckles drag on the floor, and it has a huge nose that is both long and pronounced. The troll sniffs at you and then pulls a face. "Who is it, doorway sniffer?" comes a sharp voice from further back inside the cave. "Don't know," replies the troll. "Doesn't smell like anyone we know." "Maybe they've come for supper," another disembodied voice suggests. "Good point," says the troll, glancing back over his shoulder, and then to you. "Please come in, come in." Throwing open the door, the curious creature ushers you inside before slamming the portal shut behind you. You stare in astonishment at the scene that greets you within. The cave has been furnished as if it's someone's home. There's a long table, dressers are pushed up against the walls, and you can see several bunk beds. At the back of the cave, a large cauldron of water has been set to boil over a large fire, the smoke from which disappears up a chimney breast that has been built into the cave wall. But most astonishingly of all are the cave's inhabitants. It's full of more of the ugly troll-like beings. You count 13 in all. While standing beside the bubbling cauldron is an ogress, who must be at least twice as tall as you are. The giantess fixes you with a flint-hard stare, and she offers you a broken-toothed smile. "Who's been a naughty naughty, then?" she cackles, and half a dozen of the trolls seize hold of you. If you're in possession of a box of delights, which you are not, so you're thrown into a rusted iron cage beside the fire and locked inside by one of the trolls, who carries a number of keys on a large iron ring. "Get that fire nice and hot," the giantess instructs the trolls.
"Yes, Mama Gryla,"
they reply, and start throwing on more logs. "We're having bean stew for supper," Mama Gryla announces. "What kind of bean?" asks one of her sons. "Human bean, aww, of course." Sorry. "Human bean, of course, pot scraper," the giantess grins. Oh, I liked that. "Unless you want to become supper for the trolls and their giantess mother, you have to get out of both the cage and the cave, and fast. But how? Will you?" I'm looking. You don't have any of these things. Oh, no. Oh, so it's giving you all these options. Like, you could use the box of delights if you have some. You could use a set of lockpicks if you have some. You could offer your captors a drink of schnapps if you have some. You could offer your captors some carrots if you have some.
Where do we get these things?
Or you could plead with the trolls. I know, right? Probably you buck up and like do some things instead of running from it all. So your only option is to plead with the trolls to let
you go. Oh boy. All right. Well, let's do it. Should have stayed at the gingerbread house.
Locking someone up in a cage until you're ready to butcher them and pop them in a cauldron of boiling water isn't what you'd consider a good example of Christmas cheer. Where's the troll's festive spirit? Whatever happened to goodwill to all men? Do they know it's Christmas? Do they know it's Christmas? Please don't eat me, you plead with your captors. I'm sorry I strayed into your territory. Please let me out! It's Christmas after all. All right, luck of the draw again. I'm just going to use the jokers because it's red or black. I'm going to shuffle. Okay, do you want me to do the top card or the bottom card, Drew?
Bottom.
Bottom card is black. All right. So we're going to go here. Oh, go on, Mama, says a troll who's abnormally short compared to his brethren. Let it out. It is Christmas after all.
Wow,
please. All right then, Stubby, says the giantess, softening. But only because you asked so nicely. Go on, door slammer, she instructs the troll holding the keys. Open the cage and let our guest out. Are we getting excited too early?
I think so.
Door slammer. Door slammer does as instructed, and deciding that you're not going to get a better opportunity than this to escape, you burst out the cage and race for the circular door. And then all hell breaks loose within the cave. The trolls tumble over each other in an attempt to stop you getting away. As they make their clumsy grabs for you, you do all you can to evade them and reach the door, shoving them out of the way, tripping them up and throwing things at them as you grab from the table. You need to work out how many of the trolls you manage to put out of action as you race around the cave. So, we're going to take an agility test, a combat test, and an endurance test. Then, we're going to pick a card. And so, the way this is going to work is, or we can choose to spend a pen is mightier special ability and use and one of those naughty or nice special abilities. So having done all these things, we're going to score some points to see how many points we've scored. Okay. So here we go. We're going to do the agility test first. What's your agility score again? 9. So we need a card that is 9 or below. Okay. And here it goes. We have drawn for the agility test.
I'll take a 9. All right.
it's a 9. All right. And then we're going to do a combat test. So what's your combat 10. Score? So we need a 10 or below.
Okay. Thank God. All right. We got a 7.
We got a 7. All right. So you get +1 point for each of those. Now we're going to do it in endurance test. And an endurance test is a little different, as I remember. I do 2 cards and add them together. What was your 16. Endurance? 16. So we're going to do this blackjack style. So I'm going to reveal the first card right now, and it is...
That's not
good. 8. So you're going to need an 8 or below to pass the endurance test. It's a 10. okay, so you do not pass the endurance test, which is a shame because that would have been +2 points. Okay. Now, we are going to, draw a card to see if it's, black or red. So if it's black, you'll get a point. Here we go. Black.
It's red.
It's red, so no point there. Okay, so far, you're ducking and diving and weaving and hitting, whatever. You've managed to rack up 2 out of 5 possible mm-hmm. points. Would you like to use the Pen is Mightier special ability? Now, to be clear, all it does here is it adds 2 points to your score. It doesn't do what right. the Pen is Mightier usually does.
In that case, no.
Okay. Would you like to use your Naughty or Nice, which does nope. the same? It adds 2 points. Okay. You do have the blacksmith's yes. axe, so that also gives you an additional point. So you're ducking and diving. They didn't think to disarm you, or maybe you grabbed it after you got in the cage. You're swinging the axe around and whatever. And you've racked up a total of 1, 2, 3 points out of a possible 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 wow. points. So again, how many is yep. it? 3 points? All right, here we go. Let's see what happens. All right, so the number of points that you've scored is the number of trolls that you've already knocked out, pushed out of the way, or tripped up as you frantically race around the cave. Any trolls that are, any trolls already eliminated come from the bottom of this list? Oh my God. Whew, this is a list. Yeah, any trolls, but they come from the bottom of the list. But you'll have to fight the rest of the Yule Lads.
Oh, no.
You do have the initiative. All right, so there's 3 that are dead, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to fight. Would you like to know their
sure.
names? All right. Meat Hook. Sheepcook Clod. Gully Gawk, Stubby, Spoon Licker, Pot Scraper, Bowl Licker, Door Slammer, Skeer Gobbler, and Sausage Swiper.
Beautiful. Who'd I kill? Do we know?
All right. You killed Window Peeper, Doorway Sniffer, and Candle Stealer.
I'm glad that I killed Window Peeper.
I feel like it would have been nice if you killed Meat Hook, but okay. So I need to refer to these rules about what happens when you're fighting a bunch of people. So it is in here. Let's see. Da da da. Combat. When you fight multiple people, occasionally you may find yourself having to fight more than one opponent at once. Such concurrent battles are conducted in the same way as above. Except you'll have to work out the combat ratings of all those involved. Oh my God. As long as you have a higher rating than an opponent, you will injure them, no matter how many opponents you're taking on at the same time. However, equally, any opponent with a combat rating higher than yours will be able to injure you too. So it's going to be kind of quick-ish, except for all the math. On this episode of Brian Plays with Spreadsheets. Just kidding. So Mr. Meat Hook at the top there, he drew a 3, and you have initiative, so there's no bonus here. So it's an 8 plus a 3, 8, 9, 10, 11 is his combat rating. Not so bad. Sheepcook Claude drew a king. That's not great. So combat rating of 17. No, wait. King is not a 17. King is... I think King is 11.
It is not good.
So that's actually 18. All right. And then we've got Gully Gawk draws a 2. So that's not too bad. 7, 8, 9. Stubby draws an ace. Wah, 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 wah. An ace is a 12. But we are going to reshuffle, which could be good. So 5. We got 17 there.
I'm doomed.
We're on to Spoon Licker. You Spoon Licker. All right. 6 is a 12. And Pot Scraper is a queen. So that's 18 again.
Not good.
And then we've got Bowl Licker is a 9. So 16. And Door Slammer is a 10. So 18. And Skeer Gobbler is a queen, 18. And then Sausage Swiper is a 7, so 14. All right.
That's real
now,
bad.
Now, what was your, yeah, what's your
combat
again?
Right now is 11.
Now, for the moment of truth.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, God.
Oh. Okay. Whoops. So yeah, that's 11 plus 3 plus 1 because you do have initiative is 15. Wow, a lot of them are going to get a swipe on you. That ain't good. So let's see. You have a higher combat rating than Meat Hook. So Meat Hook is going to lose 2 endurance. So he was at 7, yep. He's now at 5. You have a lower combat rating than Sheep Cook Clod, so you're going to lose 2 endurance. What's your endurance at?
As it stands, my endurance is 16.
So minus 2. So you're at 14 now. You've got a higher combat rating than Gully Gawk, so they're going to lose 2. So Gully Gawk's at 4.
Did I already add the combat rating for the battle axe? Because that's just one more.
That's a good point.
It only gives me 16.
Yeah, it makes it 16, so 16. It wouldn't have changed anything yet, but it does change at least one down below. So, all right, so you're now at 12. And then now we're on
the fifth,
which is Spoon Liquor. And so you are higher than Spoon Liquor, so they're now at 3. You're lower than Pot Scraper, so you lose another 10. 2,
oh,
so you're
man.
At 10. And then you're
the same as...
You're the same. We draw a card, and if it's red, you deflect. If it's black, you both injure each other. Okay. So here we go. It red. Is... Okay, so you deflect, and nobody gets hurt. So we were here. This one's higher, so you lose another 2. You're at 8. This one's higher. You lose another 2. You're at 6. This one's lower. They lose 2. That's 5.
Off to a great start.
And now we do it again. I have a feeling you just died. let's go. So here we go. So we got for Meat Hook. Oh, God. An ace. And then Sheep Cook Clod is 15. And then Gully Gawk is, and then Stubby 16. And Spoon Liquor 16. And Pot Scraper is 11. Bowl Liquor is 19. And Door Slammer is 11. Skeer Gobbler is an ace. Got another ace. I forgot to shuffle last time. I should probably shuffle. 12. So what is that? 12, 7, 8. GURP, 18, 19 for the initiative. So let me shuffle these for the last one here.
Oy.
So actually, you know, most of these... Because you drew a really bad card last time.
Theoretically, I could. If I got a face card, I would beat
most of them. You're probably not going to beat
the very first one. Hook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as it's...
You might not beat the
as 19th. It stands, I've got... What am I? My combat's 11.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's
so here we
not
go. I'm
counting
gonna,
my... My axe.
And my axe. Sorry. Yeah.
So 11, I guess. Okay. 11 plus 1 with the axe.
Yeah. So, yeah, plus 1 for the axe. Shit. Plus, here we go. We have to.
I have to have a face card. Yeah. Hey! Oh, thank God. Okay. That's... All right. I'm still in it. Okay. Whew.
So that's an 11. So you have 23.
Oh,
wow. You
God.
Beat them all. Okay. So now you've got a higher than all of them. So we just subtract yep. twos from all of these. So 3.
That's 5, a lot of 2, time left to go to kill
3, 1.
There's just no way.
I know, right? 6, 6, 5, 4, 3. Yeah, in the next round, if you do well, you're going to
eliminate a good.
You're going to kill.
Two or three of them.
But you only have 6
don't
endurance.
Can we pause for some?
Yeah, so that's not great. Okay.
Some cannolis, huh? Can we pause for some food?
Wait, guys. Let me just eat a little snack real quick. All right, so I'm going to draw again. So we've got a 9 for the first one, and they don't have endurance or initiative this time, actually. So because you literally beat all of them, so you're going to get the extra plus 1 this time. So 9 here, 17. Yeah. 7 and an ace. So, well,
time to shuffle. I don't like that.
19. Time to shuffle. 7 and 6.
Okay.
So 13. 5 and 5 is 10. 6 and 9 is 15. 7 and 10 is 17. 7 and Jack is, so that's a 11, so 18. 8 and 2, 10. 7 and 10, 17. 7 and
I need to
5.
At least get a 7.
Yeah, so, 7 and 5, 12. Okay.
I need at least have a 7.
So.
Well, that's to beat everyone.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, no.
That's a wrap, folks.
I think you just died. Yeah. So it's a 2, and that would give you only
15. So I would lose against 1, yeah, so, 2,
so you,
3, 2, 4, 5. Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's, yep, wah, definitely more than 6. Wah. And so you take the long nap.
Who's the one who did it to me? Hold on, is it 1, 2, 3? Of course, it's the pot screen.
Oh, yeah, and it could have ended up... No, because you would have lost only one from that. So, yeah, it's
Pot Scraper.
Pot Scraper's like, get in my belly.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, so the thing about taking a nap in a cave full of trolls that wanted to eat you...
you just don't wake up. You just don't.
Yeah.
Well...
Oh, man.
C'est la vie, you know.
So, Merry Christmas. It's time for
the After Game Analysis, sponsored by Pine Scented Darkness.
So, what would you have done differently?
I would have stayed. I would have stayed behind in the. Let me back all the way up to the beginning, knowing that I would have ended up in the basket to begin with. By going back to the bedroom, I would have just climbed up to the roof. But, you know, I could have been pushed off the roof, who knows, or just could have been slain up there. But I would have definitely done that. Had it still gotten me to the gingerbread house, I would have stayed in the gingerbread house, probably. And I wouldn't have tasted the cider or anything like that, but I would have gone over and probably looked at the notebook or read the letter. I'm glad that I used the, the pen is mightier for
the
Yule Panther.
Yeah.
But,
Yep.
Should not have knocked on Jesus' door. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shame. The trolls were just hungry and needed food, and, you know. You can't really blame them.
They said they'd let me go.
For living to their nature. That's true. They were lying jerks, actually. Well, anyway.
This has been the After Game Analysis. Pines into darkness. Smell as sappy as a pine tree. Feel as black as your soul.
I don't know. Anyway. That was off the cuff. Anyhow. Yeah, so that is Twas the Krampus Night Before Christmas by Jonathan Green. We hope that you're having a jolly good holiday season. So dip-a-dip and dickery-dock. Do you have any Christmas wishes for the
Christmas
for the
wish
listeners?
For the listeners? Don't start the Christmas music and the Hallmark movies too soon. That's my wish for you.
Yeah.
Is that you don't start it too soon.
You know, I've been actually, usually I'm on that side of the fence as well, but now that I've got the two little ones, I'm the one saying to Crystal that we should consider putting up the decorations.
Nope.
Like,
nope,
now.
Not going to do it. Can't do it. Sierra is already watching Hallmark movies.
Well. But isn't that just like an everyday occurrence?
Hallmark Christmas movies. There's a difference.
No, that's like the, what is it called? The Prince? I don't remember. Anyway, there was a big, I guess it's not Hallmark, but there was a Netflix one.
Christmas Prince, I think
it was called, right? Yeah. It was like big craze not too long ago. Yeah, Crystal and I were just reflecting. This is totally off topic, but we were just reflecting on how there was a zoo at the beginning of the pandemic that was putting on, they were putting on like live streams to help entertain kids while they were at home or whatever. And for some reason, this like randomly came up to us today. And we were reflecting on like, holy crap, that feels like a lifetime ago. And you know why? Because it basically was, because Wells was like practically a newborn then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So anyway. What made me think of that is that, like, I remember the Christmas Prince was all the rage, and it was probably like the Christmas before, the world ended that happened. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for being a good sport. It's always
absolutely
pleasant. So this wasn't an insta-death, at least.
It wasn't an insta-death. I did fight to the bitter end. However, I still would have obviously loved to have at least gotten to wherever it is I'm supposed to go. I want to die by the hands of Krampus, not his ugly, smelly little trolls.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I think that you did an admiral. This is not Admiral Akbar. You did an admirable job. So, I'm sure that crowds everywhere are just.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. A special thanks to our guests and to the contributors who helped make the show better than I ever could on my own. Intro music graciously provided by Jesse Johnson, aka Zenoda. Find more great music by searching Jesse Johnson or Zenoda, spelled with an X, on YouTube and most major streaming platforms. Podcast cover art generously contributed by Patrick O'Neill. You can learn more about Pat's art on his Facebook page, Pat O'Neill Art.